Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Movie Geeks United Slam Dance Film Festival Spotlight on William S. Burroughs, A Man Within. William S. Burroughs, A Man Within, paints a tender portrait of the beat author and American icon, whose works at once savaged conservative ideals, spawned vibrant countercultural movements, and reconfigured 20th century culture. The film features insights and recollections from a host of some of our greatest artists, including John Waters, Gus Van Sant, and David Cronenberg. The film screens on Wednesday, January 27th, and here is our interview with the director of this documentary, Mr. Yoni Laser. When did your consciousness of him begin?
It began in school when I kind of started breaking away from the assigned readings and I picked up Naked Lunch, which was just so shocking, so creative, and so interesting that something like that could be made, not only the subject matter, but also the free-form cut-up set. Well, not exactly cut-up yet, but, non-linear style of it and, breaking away from the boring forms that we have been given to read by our teachers.
Yeah. And what age was this for you?
I was about 15 or 16.
Wow. Had you thought about wanting to make films at all at that point?
Yeah, actually, I was making short films. At that time, I made my first documentary, which was called Bill and Anna. It was a love story between an obese carpet cleaner with his mother and his struggling relationship with a prostitute addicted to crack.
Wow. When you're working in the documentary form, it's a fascinating form for a couple of reasons to me, but when you set out to make this film about Burroughs, did you have in mind what you wanted it to be, the structure of it, or did that come through the actual process of putting it together?
You know, I kind of started, when I was making this documentary, I actually started in Lawrence, Kansas, and I didn't expect it to become the documentary about William Burroughs. I just set off to document an event he organized there called the River City Reunion in 1987, which he organized. He brought out his friends. Allen Ginsberg came out, Timothy Leary, Husker Du, Jello Biafra, Marianne Faithfull, Ann Waldman. All of his friends came out and performed. And I was writing a little bit about the history of the town for the newspaper, and I decided that I might just make a short film about that, and I started filming. And, I got so much more and more fascinated, and all of his friends kept being like, finally someone's making a documentary about this, and they pushed me forward and forward, and it was really all of his friends that introduced me to, a lot of the well-known names who were in the movie, and it was them as much as me that made the documentary it is, but I just started, small, building a pyramid off that, so yeah.
And he's influenced, excuse me, he's influenced so many people, a generation, and you speak to a lot of people that have been heavily influenced by him. What is that influence? What is it about Burroughs that speaks to these people?
Right. Well, it depends who you're talking to. I mean, a lot of the punk rock that he's influenced, I think, primarily was his control. And in a lot of ways he predicted, predicted punk rock, and he wrote about it, and I think his his real breaking away from control and critique of the government and anti-authoritarian stance was really great for them. And also, I mean, even the cut-up method, which he invented, which is with Brian Geisen, which is cutting up and rearranging pieces of newspaper type to create words, you know, was heavily influenced by them. David Bowie wrote them. You see in our film, you know, Dead Kennedys, band after band used that technique. And then you have someone like John Waters, who, you know, is also a film, and it's like he opened up queer culture. He basically started, you know, queer culture. There was no such thing in the 50s. Nobody, you know, had heard, you know, someone write about it in such a gritty way. So I think, you know, everyone pulled something out, but they it's more than just someone that influenced them. I mean, he was the religious figure at the time. I mean, there was no one else in the 50s breaking like the Beats were. And, you know, he also ended censorship. So for writers, he started a whole new genre.
And he was so kind of, I mean, such a unique voice, but in that voice, he was so honest and confessional in a way, because what a fascinating, oftentimes twisted and tragic life he had in some sections, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he shot his wife, neglected his kid. He, you know, wasn't able to engage in a relationship. I mean, that's an interesting dynamic. I mean, he opens up queer culture and people, you know, which is hugely helpful to everyone else, but in his personal life, he struggled. I mean, he couldn't engage in relationships. He was never, you know, comfortable in that sphere. So it's an interesting paradigm, and I think he's a very multifaceted character.
As a filmmaker, I know a lot of these people that you spoke to in connection to this film, you have to have great admiration for. I mean, you mentioned John Waters, but there's also Gus Van Sant and David Cronenberg. What was it like to sit across from these giants in filmmaking?
Well, yeah, Gus Van Sant came to our screening last night, and, you know, he told me, you know, it was he's so supportive. He really, really likes the film, and he donated some footage to it. Yeah, he brought up a bunch of his friends to the screening, and he, you know, thought it was great. He said he was really touched by it, because he was hugely inspired by William Burroughs, and he continues to stay in contact. Yeah, and so does John Waters. David Cronenberg was an interesting character, you know. I mean, he was his interpretation of Naked Lunch had, you know, was received, I guess, fairly well. It's very interesting. Yeah.
I will follow. Were you taken by the film as a representation of the book, or is it?
You know, I don't think it was supposed to be a representation of the book. I even talked to him about it. You know, it's kind of, you know, as with any narrative film, you have to make it your own, and that's one of the most difficult books to turn into a movie, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he was, you know, interpreting Burroughs' life and who he saw as Burroughs and the book and combined it all into one. You know, same thing like my portrayal in the film. I think, you know, I don't know if it's exactly how he would have wanted to be portrayed or a scholar would have wanted him portrayed. You know, it's seen as, you know, as much as you try to be objective, especially though in their film, you're going to be subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But Cronenberg definitely, and of course Gus Van Sant is, you know, influenced by all the Beats. He's the executive producer of the Howl narrative movie, which is also premiering here in Park City. Yeah.
So tell me about Slam Dance. Now, did you set out to screen at this festival specifically, and what is it about Slam Dance that fits your film?
Well, it was interesting. Originally we weren't sure if we wanted to submit to Sundance or to Slam Dance, the idea of being, you know, in the shadow of the big blockbuster Howl, or, you know, having a, you know, our highlight of a separate entity here in the same place. And the film was, we got an extension from Slam Dance, which also helped their case, because we were still finishing it up. And, you know, I talked to people like John Waters, and I'm like, well, what do you think? And he's like, well, Allen Ginsberg is so more Sundance, and Burroughs is so more Slam Dance, you know? So I think it's fitting, and I think they would have liked underground, gritty, you know, cultural icon and here at Sundance says, oh, we're, you know, rebellion this year, so rebellion. And you look at each movie. I don't know if there's been a movie yet hasn't been made big budget with big, you know, like a movie that isn't already in the theaters that isn't, you know, I don't see any very many rebellious movies, maybe Howl, you know, yeah. But I would much, you know, rather support something that I think Burroughs would enjoy more.
Are those the kinds of movies that you're attracted to generally, the more rebellious outside-of-the-box movies?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think those are the only kind of movies that I'd like to see in general, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about the screening that happened yesterday. It was the audience reaction what you had hoped it would be? Was there?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. The only thing that wasn't that great is tickets sold out before they went on sale. So a lot of people didn't get to get in the screening, which was a shame. But, yeah, it was great. I mean, we had a lot of, you know, a few Oscar nominees there. And, of course, Gus Van Sant came. And people enjoyed it and liked it. And so I was very happy.
Well,
and the next screening is on Wednesday, the 27th, at Slamdance.
Did you do a Q&A after the screening?
Yeah, I did.
What did people, after they saw it, what did they want to know from you? What was the most common question you were asked?
Well, a couple of them were just surprised that I had gotten these, you know, living legends, you know, to really be so honest and talk so frankly and emotionally with me. And also, I think people were talking about how they appreciated the humor in it. And because they say a lot of these documentaries don't have any humor. People like the animation. Jerry Aronson, who was in the audience, he made the Allen Ginsberg documentary, The Life and Times of Allen Ginsberg. He asked me what William ever did for him, what William ever did for me. And I asked him back, what did Allen Ginsberg ever do for you? And he said, well, Allen Ginsberg saved my life. And then 1968 Democratic National Convention, I was about to get my head cracked open, but he started oming, and at that moment, the police didn't hit him. And he walked up to Alan, and he said, hi, I'm Jerry, thank you. And he said, and Alan said, I'm Alan. And he's like, oh, you're the poet. And then they met up again in Boulder. And so I guess I replied to that Burroughs saved my consciousness. If I hadn't discovered in high school, you know, I don't know if I would have gone down the path that I did.
Yeah. It's a big life that he had. How do you encapsulate it in a film? What is the one or two main points of his life that you want to express to people?
Well, I try to. One thing is about this movie is I encapsulate, you know, a lot of who he's influenced and why, and you know how his work is relevant. But beyond that, I tried to deconstruct who the man behind the persona was. Because with these legends, there's such a big persona that gets created around you. And, you know, I mean, when you read the literature, you get through it a little bit. But usually, you know, with film and photographs and, you know, stories about the person, you don't get who the person is. So A Man Within was a line that he used in Naked Lunch. And it's trying to find the man within the persona. And I think, you know, it really does, and it paints a tender portrait of all his friends, you know, really conveying who he was without pretense and you know, his struggles and his accomplishments both. But, yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel that we were missing a voice like his in our society today?
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of, right now it's kind of like niche everything. There isn't like a legend, like, you know, there isn't a Allen Ginsberg that appeals, you know, as far as a countercultural icon, there isn't really. I mean, there's like niche icons. There's like, you know, for the punk lesbian community, there's Michelle T, and, you know, for the lesbian. I mean, it's just like everyone, there's for each niche community, you know, the drug community, there's Daniel Pinchback and for everything, but there isn't one countercultural figure that really spans across because I don't know whether it's because the internet or specializing or I don't know what, but I don't think there's anyone.
What do you hope comes out of this experience? What do you hope happens to your film from here?
Well, I hope people see it, and it looks like we're getting some offers for distribution, quite a few actually now, so hopefully we'll be in some theaters and DVD soon.
Thank you.